as we look back, and I looked at those videos there, and I thought about, man, 2 years, we have people that's here still, that's from the beginning. We have people that's, we saw pictures there, who's moved on, some into other ministry, some other places. This ministry isn't for everybody, you know. Sometimes there's just people who don't like the close family type thing. Who'd rather go to a big church. And our heart isn't that it's about a big church, it's about a big kingdom and the people in it. Yeah. So that's our heart. And this morning as we look at the lives who have been changed and those people who've been saved and it's overwhelming. We don't see them all sitting here this morning right in this room, but we know what God has done. And some of those people are still here. Some of them are moved on, like I said, but there's still what God is doing. It's just amazing in the last 2 years. And, you know, we look at the prodigal children who've come home. How many has been in a church before in their life who's been involved in churches and was out of church for a long time? The prodigal children, you know, that God has brought back to in fellowship with Him. And now they feel comfortable in going to church again. And so as I looked through and I saw look at the bad habits that have been broken.
Amen.
By the power of Christ and
yes.
and what God has done through Celebrate Recovery and,
yes.
and those people that we love dear that go to different churches, you know, and things how their lives are being changed. And we look at the families that God has not only touched through one individual or two or more in this room, their families have been affected. And,
yes.
And things that's, to God be the glory for all of this. Can I get an
yes.
amen? God be the glory for all of it. And but we have to admit, we look pretty good. We look pretty good for 2 years, I think.
Amen.
You know, because of God and what He is doing here. It's, as I always say, you know, this isn't about me. Never put me on the pedestal because I'm going to fail you. Sooner or later, man fails us and we'll do things wrong. We won't get it all right. But I believe God's raising up some people that are hungry for Him more than anything else, more than following a man, more than going to a big building or anything else. Yes, this is progress we see, and we have to have that. God is into numbers. You believe that or not? You know, I don't know that He's into us being throwing our monies all over, you know, we need this, we need that. But God wants us to have double amount of these people because of His kingdom purpose. And so those things, you know, we from the beginning said, we'd be happy with one, two people here. We have had that. We've been here from the beginning in times where it's just me and Penny. And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to be just honest and straight. It was frustrating. There was times where I just wanted to throw my hands up and quit or give up. But God said, no, what did I tell you from the beginning? You know, this is not about numbers. It's not about numbers, money, anything like that. It's about His kingdom and His purpose. So what do? We ministered to each other sometimes. You know, we preached right on through a sermon, you know, with two people here or however many. So, yeah, there's been challenges, but there's always something to praise about also here.
Amen.
Always something, if we can find that. Today, the Lord led me over to Revelations 3:20 over there, and that's what I'm on. It's kind of a, you say, well, I don't know why this message, but hopefully it'll be something you can understand. It says in 3:20 over in Revelation 3, if you know the Bible or if you want to turn there, you're welcome. We have Bibles over there if anybody wants one or needs one. But in Revelations 3, it's red letters. And it's Jesus talking to the churches. And through to John about the churches. And in 3, you find over there, starting in 14, he's actually talking to the church of Laodicea. And this church, it says in there that I know your deeds that you're neither cold nor hot. I would that you were cold or hot, but so because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. Because you say I'm rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and you do not know that you're wretched and miserable, poor and blind and naked. I advise you to buy from me gold refined by fire, that you may become rich, and white garments, that you may clothe yourself, and that you that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and the eye salve to anoint your eyes, that you may see. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Now here's the scripture I'm getting to, is 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will dine with him and he with me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, I just want to thank you, Lord, for everything. Now, God, your anointing's on your word. Your anointing comes from your word. And these words spoken, Lord Jesus, by you, let it be grained inside of us that, Lord, that you want us to understand that you're here and you always will be. You never leave us. You never forsake us. But, Lord, you knock at our heart and you knock at the door sometimes. Lord, let us be obedient to hear your word this morning. Put aside every hindrance right now. Lord, let us focus on what you would have to say. And today, Lord, you be glorified in Jesus' name. Now, I was after I read this first of the week, I thought about, you know, the past and everything, and how many of you know that you ever seen anything, you've been out in the woods or somewhere and you've seen somebody carve their name on a tree? Alton was here, right? Or they taken, you know, some of you might have went into a bathroom and there's the bathroom poet society in there, and they've written their name, Brandon was here, you know. Or they've taken their finger and they've written it in the concrete, you know, there's like, you know, Karen was here. All these things is pointing to the past. They're pointing to the fact that that person has been there. Mm-hmm. And it's a proof. And as we look around here today, we see the proof of God's hands in a double-wide trailer. From a rental property that I struggled to keep renters in for a long time. And God says, what about that place? I'll make it holy ground. I'll make it somewhere you can come together and worship me and find your way as a minister. That's what God told me and Penny. And we stepped out in faith. We stepped out in faith and trusted God. Because I'm going to tell you, it's a big step. It's a big step to trust God sometimes, isn't it? In our lives, it doesn't matter if it's about ministry. Just trusting Him sometimes to go to the next job. To go to the next place. To trust Him with our family who might be sick or going through something. Trusting God. So God's challenging us today to trust Him in all that we do here at Ministry House and the things to come. But, you know, and as we looked at this video, we saw evidence of people whose lives have been touched and changed marriages healed and things throughout every one of these people. And some of us relate to them, even someone who's going to be with the Lord. Mm-hmm. I saw Kevin on there.
Yeah.
My God. That song we sung today come from Mike one day. He said, what about this song? Have you ever heard it? And I said, no, I've never heard that song. And boy, this is such an anointing on it. I'll never forget after preaching Kevin's sermon I preached at Kevin's funeral and coming back that Sunday and everyone was broken because there was a part of us missing. There was something missing. It was Kevin. Kevin was no longer with us. And we sung that song, and God put His love on us, and the salve of His love come on all of us as we wept and cried and missed Kevin. And there's some in this video that I miss dearly. But there's also the place in me that knows that not everyone's going to be here. Not everyone's going to get the same vision. Not everyone wants to go and minister to the homeless. Not everyone wants to go to jails and the places nobody else wants to go and have those people who are drug addicts and alcoholics and those kind of people. And that's okay. But God has called us for those people. He's called us here, and there's a reason why He yokes us all together as a body. So we look at that past, and man, we see just the evidence of God, just like if it was written in concrete all throughout, you know, every corner of this property. And so, you know, I see that. And He's saying, it's like He put, I was here.
Yes.
I was here.
Yes.
I knocked on the door of people's heart, and they let me in.
Yes.
They let me in after years I didn't go to church. Somebody knows better hear what I'm saying. You didn't go to church, but God was knocking at your heart. He said, well, why not try that place? Why not go over there? Mm-hmm. And God began to move in your heart again. He began to soften your heart and put you back on the potter's wheel. And,
yes.
And I can see, no, it's not written in that scripture there, but I can see like God saying, I knock on the door of people's heart. They open the door in their hearts and let me come in. I came. I touched their lives. I forgave sin and I healed families. I was here. That's what God spoke to me. And by that same token, I know our text doesn't say it again, but I'm convinced that it's true nevertheless, that when we look at the future and we can hear God saying, I will be there. I will be here. I will still be here. Bible says He's the same
yesterday,
today, and forevermore.
Yes.
The ministry house is going to continue to move forward. We're going to continue to worship God, but you know, we have to stay focused. We have to stay on what God says, not what I think. Because I'm going to mess up. I'm going to get it wrong. But if we stay focused on what God says to do, we're going to touch our communities. We're going to reach those people. We're going to have the life outreach center eventually that God birthed inside of me. We're going to be able to go to the homeless. We're going to help them be healed and see people's lives changed in our communities. It's a hard thing for a type A personality like me who wants to rush in and get it done and go. But God says, no, wait on me.
Mm-hmm.
Wait on me.
Yes.
It's in my time and it's the way I do it. Some might say 2 years and you're still in a living room. I don't look at it that way. I look at it as if we had everybody that come in contact with the ministry house, we could fill up maybe half of First Baptist Church, I don't know, or a part, section of it at least down there. And it's not about keeping them all the time.
Yes.
It's not about that. It's about imparting in their lives so that their families become righteous and right standing with God and become strong again in God if they've been away from God or they've never known God. They're discipled. They're taught. That's what it's about. And so in 2016, we're going to realize God will be there. He'll go next, our next phase, whatever it is, His hand's going to be on it. And He's going to always be faithful. He's always going to be knocking. He don't quit. He don't give up. Maybe we do sometimes, but we can't. We got to have faith in Him and trust in Him. And know that He's always going to be there. He's going to always be searching for that one that's lost. The Bible says He'll leave the 99 for that one. Who's the 99?
Us.
The shepherd. He's talking about the shepherd. He'll leave His flock. He'll leave behind us to go get that one. Now, we've got to have the same mindset. And so, but more important, I want us to focus on even today, not the past, not the future, but more important, God's blessing in the past, and it's important God's provision for the future, but God would have us read the text as is written, "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come in and eat with him and he with me." God is here today, right now. This can be the most important time in Ministry House, because not because we've got a vision. It says my people perish for a lack of vision. We got to have a vision. But we got to work and concentrate and stay focused on right now.
Yes.
If we get caught up in the future, then guess what? We get lost in the present.
Yes.
That's what God told me. We got to stay focused. We got to stay on in line with His Word, and we got to follow. Learn to be followers of Christ and know that He is there. And so He's saying He wants to be our sanctuary. He wants us to be His church. And God's saying, "I'm a present help right now. Whenever you need me, I'll be there. Whenever you go, I'll lead you. I'll give you vision. I'll give you direction." He'll be the present help in a time of need, anytime we need Him, if we stay focused on Him. You know, it's fun to look back on what God has done in the past, and but if you're listening to the voice of God today, it's exciting also to look ahead. You know, get a glimpse of that future, the future plans, like we saw there. You know, but this right here is what I want us to stay focused on. That look at the children that we can put in this place right here, in this area that we need to be filling the void where there's still place for improvement here. It's our heart, not just be an adult sanctuary, but children's ministry. We're lacking there. We know that. And there's things, but God's putting it in order, little by little. And so, listen to what Abraham Lincoln said. "You cannot escape the responsibility of tomorrow by evading it today." There's responsibilities. We have to learn what they are. We need to know what they are before we step out there. You know, look foolish. Anybody ever done that? You step on out there and the next thing you know, you just look foolish, you know. And if we're doing this as in the Lord, like Penny shared earlier, we're a reflection out there for Christ in all that we do. We don't want to come off as no big snake handling church, you know. Lord, they're crazy up in there. Now, I want you to be free to do what the Lord says in this house, but And I think we all should. But when you start breaking out the snakes, I'm going to say something. We're going to part ways.
Amen.
Well, they're going out back, okay? Amen. We'll send them on down there, or at least home with Jesus. But listen to this. Boyd Baggett said this: "Look at life through the windshield, not the rear view mirror." We can't look at the past. You know what happens to a lot of churches? A lot of times they get caught up in the... Well, so-and-so church is doing this. You know, they did this and they did that and they did this. Well, it's okay to look at that, but what are we looking towards? We need to be looking forward, but we still need to be riding with Jesus in the car right now, you know? And because it would be real easy to get ahead of the game. And so God's saying right now, and I'm going to skip on down. It says, now in this scripture right here, and some of you may recognize this in our text in the seven churches. I read it earlier, Revelation 3:15. Jesus said, "I know your deeds, that you're neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one of the other. But because you're lukewarm and neither hot or cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth." Now, that's a strong scripture, is it not? How many's heard that before? Have you ever thought and wondered why Jesus would say that? Have you ever thought of why he would want you to be cold? Now, I got a revelation from this week. Why would he say that? "I'd rather you to be cold if you ain't going to be hot"? Somebody tell me.
You can get you fired up.
That's a good word.
Doesn't want you double-minded.
I would
good
I would think that if you're trying to be a reflection, if you're a reflection of Christ, that if you're in it halfway, you're halfway reflecting Him in a bad way.
Ooh, that's good.
Very good, Joe. Very good. If we're reflecting Him, are we reflecting Him in all that we do? Is like Joe said, is it a good reflection in the mirror that you're seeing? It's a challenging word, Jesus said. How many know that before Christ, I call it my BC days, nobody could tell Ronnie nothing. I was stubborn as a mule, and nobody could tell me nothing. Now, Ronnie gets saved, and I'm kind of in 1 minute, and I'm out the next. I'm in 1 minute, and I'm out the next. What's that called a lot of times? Straddling the fence. Well, at church, I'm a hallelujah, glory. And I go out a few days later after Sunday, I'm back, over with the boys over, around the campfire, cooking some meat. We'll just use that. And then, I'm a cussing because they're cussing and they're. What reflection are we then? Not only that, what is it? Are you reflecting Him at home, behind closed doors? In our prayer, He says, get in your closet. He says, don't show me out to the public and on the corner be praying out loud. And you might be the gifted preacher in the world. You might just make old Joel Osteen look sick. But the fact is, what are you doing the next day you preach on the corner? He said, hot or cold? When you're cold, when you're vulnerable, when you're willing to say, I ain't got it, Lord. I can't do this without You, Lord. I've got to get down right now on my knees and say, Lord, I need You. Yes. And I don't care where it is. I'll never forget, I preached a funeral one time, and I was in the graveyard, and it was another pastor was doing that part of it, and I saw a tear rolling out of this young man's eyes. And I walked over and said, are you okay? And he said, no. I said, well, Jesus can solve whatever problem it is in your heart. And right there, normally you just say, I'll pray for you, right? Most people would. God says, I want you to pray for him right now. And it was raining. It was mud everywhere. Now, will you get down in the mud with somebody?
Come on.
Will you get down in the mud with somebody and get on your knees and say, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other way, son. There is no way. You can't make it on this road you're on. And he'd give his life to Christ. Now, I'm telling you, that's what God is meaning. I can work with you if you're that way. If you're willing to say, I can't do this. Cold. Freezing cold. You're just, and some of you know what I mean. You're at the end of yourself. That's what he's talking about here. That's what he means. So we got to keep remembering that. We got to keep focus. Because this church that he's talking about lost that focus. They loved the Lord at one time. They started that thing up, didn't they? It was everything. Woo, they didn't have sound going crazy and all that. They had probably a good preacher. Not an old country boy that can't hardly talk. They probably had a good preacher. But the fact is, we can lose sight. We can lose vision of it all. Just like that. If we don't put Him first. Now, I'm going to close, but I got a story that God laid on my heart this week. I didn't have this in there, but I saw this little video clip and it brought it up. It's a story about a man. I was a pastor at another church and we had a prayer line there and people would call in, needing prayer. And one day, it was during the day and we got a call and the secretary sent a thing and there's a man on the phone. His name's Donnie. Eugene Lytle, and he was wanting prayer, but I can't reach the senior pastor, and he said he wanted the pastor. can you take the call? And I was busy that day, you know. I was had a lot going on, but in my office there. And but all of a sudden, I thought, well, yeah, this man needs prayer. You got to stop. Sometimes you got to stop what you're doing because people need you. Mm-hmm. Well, I got on the phone with this guy, and he said, my name's Donnie Light. I said, okay, and now what can God do for you today? I like to say that because I can't do nothing, really. What can God do for you today? Well, I tell you, just answering the phone was one thing. He said, I've been trying to get in touch with somebody that could talk to me a little bit and pray with me. And I could sense the brokenness in the man's heart and in his voice. And we talked a while. He said, I've been somewhat an outlaw all my life. And I laughed. I said, well, you probably, why God directed you over to my phone. Because, you know, that's what they called me right out of high school when I quit. You know, and we shared some stories and things. And we went on. He got more comfortable with talking to me. And he said, you know, I'm a country and western musician and singer, songwriter. And some know me by being Donnie Young. I said, okay. Right there, I'm like, okay. You know, I hadn't heard of Donnie Young. But and he went on and he talked some more and he was struggling with emphysema and asthma. And I told him about my grandpa and how he had died with emphysema and all this stuff. And we just connected right away. And as we talked and went on and later, you know, again, he became more easy. Well, he said, you know, I've recorded over 70 albums and more of them's more than two dozen of them's been hits. Some of them make number one hits. I'm like, really? You know, I'm like, wow. And later I found out a little more about him. And he began playing the guitar. Listen to some of this stuff. He began playing a guitar at the age of 6 and sang it professionally by 15. He recorded for Decca and Mercury Records as Donnie Young. He was a bass player for Porter Wagoner, anybody as old as me, Ray Price, Farron Young, and George Jones. Anybody know the possum, George Jones? He filed for bankruptcy in 1990. He served in the Navy in the mid-50s. Some of this he had told me about, but when I looked this up and after our conversation, I went on there, you know, and found some stuff. In the mid-50s and was later court-martialed in prison for 2 years for hitting a Navy officer. 2 years. He was sued by the IRS in 1982 for $103,000 in back taxes. He and another ex-convict, country star Merle Haggard, performed at the Chillicothe Correctional Institute in Ohio while he was in prison there because he shot a man in 1985 with a .22 caliber pistol in the head. And after 3 years of appeals, he was sent to a medium security prison in 1989, but not before becoming a born-again Christian and quitting alcohol, drugs, and cigarettes. Now, later on, his demons and all got back in his life. This and depression and some of these things he was sharing with me that was going on in his life and divorce, all these things that sound familiar. Some of us know that it doesn't matter even as a born-again Christian, we can face the enemy and the demons in our life. Some of us are here today and we know that there's certain things. We go to celebrate recovery. We know there's things in our life that are our past that are always going to be there. And we talk about that a lot. But now, and we went on and we talked, and this man told me he had reached out to several churches. He said every time he had tried to get in touch with a pastor, he couldn't talk to him. Now, I said all that to say this. One of the things we got to stay focused on, we can't look at people as any different than a brother in this room or a sister in this room. It might be a phone call like this that could change your life, or it could be change somebody else's life, that person you come in contact with. Now, he wrote this song, and I want to share it, and I'm going to read it because I sure can't sing it. It's actually kind of a country rap song, but it's real slow. I guess you'd call it a country rap, but it's called The Outlaw's Prayer. Him and David Allan Cole wrote this song. It says, "You know I worked the big packet show in Fort Worth Saturday night. We had all day Sunday to rest and relax before I caught another flight. So I decided to walk downtown and get myself a little fresh air. Before long, I found myself in front of a big church on the corner of the square. Boy, I could hear that singing way out in the street. Sure was a beautiful sound. So I just walked up the steps and opened the door and started to go inside and sit down. But before I could, a young man walked over to me and said, 'Excuse me, sir, but I can't let you in.' With that thick black hat, those jeans, that beard and long hair. So I just left, went back outside, sat down on the curb, and I thought to myself, that's the house of the Lord. That guy's got a lot of nerve telling me I can't worship anywhere I please. So right there in front of that church, I just knelt down on my knees. I said, 'Lord, I know I don't look like much, but I didn't think you mind. I just wanted to be with your people, Lord. It's been a long time. A while ago, I saw a wino over there in the alley and all bent over in tears. And I thought, how one stained glass window from this church would feed his family for years. Then there's those fine cars parked outside. Too many for me to count. Made me think how people walk for days to hear your Sermon on the Mount. Then there's those fine ladies in the choir.
Thank you.
Excuse me. Lord, singing that like they're really loving. Last night, they were dancing on the front row of my show, drinking beer, screaming, 'Sing, shove it.' You know, even John the Baptist wouldn't be welcome in this place with his coat made of camel hair and sandals on his feet and a long beard on his face. You know, Lord, when you come back to get your children and take them beyond the clouds to live forever in heaven with you, well, I sure hate to be in this crowd. You know, Lord, I'm not perfect. Some may even call me no count. But I'll tell you, I believe a man is judged by what's in his heart, not what's in his bank account. So if this is what religion is, a big car, a suit, and a tie, then I might as well forget it, Lord, because I can't qualify. Oh, by the way, Lord, right before they kicked me out, didn't I see a picture of you with sandals and a beard? Believe you had long hair too. Well, this is Paycheck signing off. I'll be seeing you, Lord. I hope." That man on that phone that day was Johnny Paycheck.
Oh my gosh.
Got to know Johnny over the phone. Helped him move from Atlanta down here. He was in a bad way. But I got to pray with Johnny Paycheck. And he had turned away from the Lord. And it had nothing to do with me. It was God orchestrated. Every bit of it. And I'll never forget that. I'll never forget that moment when he felt comfortable enough to tell me, "Have you ever heard of Johnny Paycheck?" Well, that's me. Donnie Light. That was his main name. You see, Johnny had went right all the way full circle. He wanted to still be Johnny Lytle again. He just wanted to be somebody. When they wrote this, he wanted to be accepted. He'd been an outlaw all his life. Now, he didn't start out that way. That video I saw this week was him when he was real young. Boy, I mean, he was singing with George Jones, and they were singing, you know, it was one of them old timeys back before the Grand Ole Opry and stuff. But he went down that outlaw road, just like me. Maybe like some of you. Said all that to say this. We have got to stay focused on what God wants to do. He wants to reach the lost, the hurting, the broken, restore, heal, deliver, set captives free. He wants them to feel the same love that an old outlaw like Johnny Paycheck felt just over the phone, just because somebody was willing to take 30 minutes of their time and answer the phone and pray with them. He died a couple years later. We never know what God is orchestrating.
Yes.
in our lives, but we have to be aware of it all the time. Mm-hmm. Living in the presence, but looking at the future. Amen.
Amen.
Using the past to say either good or bad, part of our testimony, right? So today we're going to break some bread here in a minute. We're going to celebrate 2 years. But before we do, you may be here and you may be in a situation where you may be like old Johnny. You may have been away from the Lord. You may not have been going to church or whatever. I had a note some more here, but I want to close there. But this one quick thing, this guy wrote me a letter that I talked about being in be the church, not be of the church. And this same guy wrote me a letter. It was real timely, I believe, that right after this, and he shared this. He shared this quote right here. It says, some guys who wrote this statement, he said, to the wounded and the brokenhearted whom the world has disowned, there's a Savior, a man of sorrow, flowing mercy from his wounds. To the guilty who's held captive by the chains of yesterday, their forgiveness like a river that can wash your stains away. To all the hungry and thirsty, come to the table of the Lord and know that there are no strangers in the household of God. To the fearful and the doubting who've forgotten their first love, there's a Father and He's waiting to welcome you back home. To all the hungry and thirsty, come to the table of the Lord and know that there is no stranger in the household of God. There's no strangers in the household of God. It doesn't matter how they look, how they act. I mean, he's glad, thankful that God is no respecter of persons. We've got to stay focused on that. Y'all know my heart. Matthew 25 is, if I had it written somewhere on the front of this, it would be this. And Jesus said, "For I am hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink?" And y'all may know the rest. The righteous. What does that mean? Matthew 24 talks about, says Jesus talking to them about the kingdom of God, and it says somewhat on this same situation. They said, "But Lord, didn't we do these mighty works? Didn't we cast out demons and do these mighty works in thy name?" And Jesus told him, he said, "Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you." There's a lot of people go to church that God don't have a clue who they are. He knows who they are, but he don't have a relationship with them. So we need to be staying right standing. And Jesus in this scripture is talking to those same Pharisaical people, church people, who are saying, Lord, we never saw you being hungry. We never saw you being thirsty. When did we? He said, when you saw it into any one of his children, you did it as unto me. So we got to stay focused on that one thing, that our focus is as much outward as it is inward. Building here is great and all that, and we're building, we're all close like family here. But we always got to remember, there's a Johnny Paycheck in the world that wants to be let in, that wants to come back into the fold and feel welcome.
Yes.
We've always got to remember that. And so right now I want us to all close our eyes, and on that, I want you to focus on you and your relationship right now. Where you stand in the present. The future could be brighter if he's in it, but he has to be in it. And I want you to ask yourself, if you're looking in the mirror, and your image, is it reflecting Christ? Are you lukewarm? Are you straddling a fence? Is there something separating you from being on hot for God, on fire for God? Because God wants to use everyone in this room for His purpose. First of all, for relationship with Him. He desires that. He created you in His image to be with Him, to be in a relationship with Him. And second, to reach a lost and dying world. Now, if you're here and you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, it's as simple as this. Three steps. Place, repent of your sins. First, you have to repent. You have to say, I acknowledge I'm a sinner and I need saved. Second of all, place your faith in Him. Trust and faith. You have to have the trust and faith. And let Him become Lord of your life and surrender unto Him as Lord is the third thing. If that's you, it's as simple as that. Say, you ain't got to have, I don't have to lead you in no prayer. It's just calling on the name of the Lord. It says, Lord, I believe you, Jesus, that you died on the cross for me. You was the Son of God, and that you are who you said you are. And I want to, this word says you are, and I want you to be my Lord and Savior. If you need that in your life, right now you can have that. Now, who wants to be transparent before God and everybody's heads down? But if you want to raise your hand, I want to pray a special prayer for you. If that's you, you want to be prayed for, raise your hand up, and I want to pray that God will restore, heal, deliver, whatever it might be in your life before we break. Never want to close without someone. If you need to know the Lord or you need some special prayer today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. All right, hands are up. Thank you, Lord. Father, I pray right now for those who raise their hand through their surrendering to you. You're going to meet the need right now, whatever it might be. Restoration. Stir a fire within every believer in this room. Let us all be thankful today, God, of what we can count on, and that is you and you alone. There's no guarantees in this life except one thing, that you love us. You care enough for us to send your Son to die on the cross for us and for all our sins. Today, Lord, touch, heal, deliver, set anyone free in this place, God, that struggle with any kind of issue that separates them from you. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.